experience.
This conference will.
So you, by pure experience, you know that your customers don't like to go to meetings, because how many times have you asked people to show up at a meeting and you get there and they're not there? I can't even begin to tell you all the meetings I've done across the country where people come in and they come up to me and they just love the meeting and they go, Mary Jo, I invited 25 people and not one person came. Or I invited 18 people. I had 18 invites out and we only had one person show up. I mean, I get all this discouragement all the time. People are, oh, da-da-da-da, you know, oh, my gosh. I get, you know, you know, I used to teach people, I said, how do you get people to meetings? Well, the one way to get people to a meeting is by going and picking them up. Well, if you're inviting 18 people, it's hard to go and pick up 18 people. You'd have to buy yourself a bus, but I'm not suggesting you do that. But that's just one technique that guarantees the person's going to be there. Of course, the problem with doing that is what? What's the downside of picking people up and taking them? The downside is that if they're going against their will, they'll probably sit there in the chair with their arms crossed and everything else going on because they feel like you kind of coerced them or manipulated them into getting to that meeting. And they're still not going to receive what they need to receive from the meeting. Now, sometimes you could have a great speaker that's going to motivate them to move, but that's, you know, 1 in 100 that might have, you know, you just think that 90% of it is getting them to the meeting. Well, that only applies if the speaker is so overwhelming that they can overcome their irritation with being there in the first place, because you're getting them to go there against their will. And that's not what we're trying to do here. We want people to want to be at the meetings, right? So the idea here is that knowing that most people don't like to go to strange meetings with strange people, what do we need to do? We need to lay the foundation first. We need to experiment with one-on-ones. We need to meet with the person, talk to the person, go through, build a relationship with them by going through the connecting and the discovery stages. Remember what we talked about, the connecting and discovery stages from Michael Oliver? You know, breaking the ice, focusing on them, asking them lots of questions. The discovery stage gets into what do you do for a living, you know, what's your family life like, and then starting to develop and finding circumstances in their life and the needs that come into their, you know, their acknowledgement and their perception and needs they have in their life, and then understanding not only the logical side of that need, but the emotional side of the need, you know, by talking about consequences of not having those needs met. All this is part of the discovery stage, and we want to do that. If you do these things in advance of taking them to the meeting, then what you can do when the meeting comes up is you can present to them, you know, George, the other day you were talking to me about not having enough time freedom, and I told you that I'm doing something that may very much support you in experiencing greater time freedom, so that you, because what you expressed to me back then was that you really were sad about not being able to take your kids on different mission trips to really introduce to them and broaden their horizons about the sadness and the needs of people all over the world, so that they could build a worldly view and really have a heart and passion to help other people and know how fortunate they are. And I think that, you know, you expressed that to me, and there's a meeting coming up this Friday night where you're going to learn an incredible amount about exactly what that business experience would be for you. Now, do you see what I just did? I got to, now George is going to come because he's going to come because he wants to come because it has something to do with him. He's not coming because I invited him. He's coming because it's going to be a potential solution to an emotional and logical need that I have already found by going through the proper connecting and discovery stage with him. So he's coming for his reason, not my reasons. And that is exceedingly powerful in getting people to go to meetings. So again, acknowledging that people don't like to go to strange meetings with strange people, how do we overcome that? We get them through the connecting and discovery stages to make sure that the attendance at that meeting from their perspective is going to be to meet their specific needs, not meet our needs to have them show up. All right? Everybody's clear with that. Because really, what in effect is the meeting? When you take somebody to meeting, what stage is that in the Michael Oliver process? It's the presentation stage. And if you're jumping there, if you hand people material and say, come on to a meeting with me, what are you doing? You're bypassing some of the most critical stages in the whole process of what we call natural selling. And you don't want to bypass them because that's what's going to cause you to be ineffective. So you want to be effective. You want to start increasing your signups to 50 to 75% of the people you talk to. Then you do it this way. You go through the connecting stage, the discovery stage, and then the presentation stage. You don't put them in the presentation stage right out of the box. And I'm not telling you that that won't work, but it won't work in more cases where the connecting and discovery stage would work. So what you want trying to do, again, is build your numbers. I want to invite 10, and I want 9 out of 10 to show up. How does that happen? Make it their reason instead of your reason. And make sure it's not just their logical reason. Make sure it's their emotional reason that's driving them to come to the meeting. So put that down on your chart. If you got local meetings or you got opportunity meetings coming up and you want to invite some people, don't just call them up and say, hey, I'd really like you to go to this meeting because of this and this and this. Then it's all your reason. Make sure you go through the connecting and discovery stage and now make it their reason to show up, their emotional reason. Number one, that's number one. Number two, critical factors in the mind of a potential customer or partner. This one has to do with people being unhappy with their lives, but they're afraid to change. Whoa, that sounds like a lot of people I know. You know, change is one of those agents out there that people just, you know, they're not really big on. Most people don't like change. Other people love change, but most people don't. So change because, and what is the whole thing about why people don't like change? Because it's the fear of the unknown.
What time would we?
I need you to go on mute, Ann. Okay,
oh,
great.
Sorry, I thought I was.
Yeah, and you need to be on mute. Okay, so it's about fear of change. So people are afraid to change. If you have fear of change, what's going to happen to you is that you're going to stay stuck. You're going to stay in the same place, and, of course, there's no growth, and no, you're not going to be green and growing if you fear change, because change is where everything needs to occur. That's where all development occurs. All personal growth, all, you know, business growth, everything is, you know, you changing. Because for things to change in your life, you need to change. You can point fingers at other people, just like you can look at your marriage and say, oh, my husband this, my husband that, my husband that, my wife this, my wife that. You know, not about them, it's about you. The only person that you can change is you. You can't change the other person, so you need to take change. So when you're working with somebody that you can see that they have this, you know, this affinity for stability as they see it, or this adversity towards change, what you want to do is just introduce them to small changes. Just say, well, you know, if they start balking a little bit about doing something different, you can go, well, let me ask you a question. You know, if you found a phone company that was half the price of the phone company you're using today, would you not take it upon yourself to make that change? Now, if you're talking to somebody like my husband who really has an aversion to change, he would look at you with jaundiced eye and he would want to research that for about 4 months before he would change the phone company. Now, that may be what you come up against. Those people are called analysts, and they're out there. And so sometimes you're going to have to put more time and energy and get them to more presentations and get them more materials, and they're going to go through. But it's their adversity to change and their need to be right about, you know, there isn't really a need to be right, which is a program that runs. Theirs is more a need not to be wrong. They don't like to make bad decisions. They're so fearful of bad decisions that they tend not to like change because they're afraid of a bad decision. So to make sure they cover themselves, they need to do that 4 months of research to say at least it still won't be enough for them, but at least they've done a thorough job and they can say, well, I can feel like I at least put adequate, you know, time and energy into analyzing this. But again, with people with adversity to change, be very careful, very gentle. You can bring up analogies with them and then make sure that the change you're asking them to make isn't, I'm asking you to walk away from your $120,000 a year job to do Manatech. That's major. We don't ask them to make that kind of. We can get them on board with an idea of, you know what, why don't you make a dedication and put in 8 to 10 hours a week and let me help you with what those 8 to 10 hours need to look like and let's get you started on a part-time basis. Get it? So you do graduation. You will do a gradual change with this person, not something that's going to be so major that it would cause most people to have a big gulp in their throat and not want to move forward. Okay, so there's a way to handle people that are dealing with issues around change. Number three, your potential customer does not think they want to spend their money. Well, whoa, Well, today a lot of people don't want to spend their money. But the reality of spending money isn't the fact that it's about money. We want to believe, you know, that whole concept of a couple different truths out there. The truth is that people, it's not so much about money, because when you look at people who don't want to spend money, who are scarcity mentality, it isn't so much that they don't spend money as much as it is they are looking for value. So when people have balk about money issues, so many times it's truly about what's the value. They haven't come to the conclusion of the perceived value of what you have. I have seen women on aid to families with dependent children and, you know, support, and they're barely making ends meet. And you know what? They scrape together all the money they can to make sure they get that 75 grand Ambertos in the mail every month, because they know that they know that they know this is one of the most critical foods they can put in their children's body every day, and they're not going to go a day without it. So they, but see, that woman has a money issue beyond belief, but she is looking for value. She understands value. So what's happened with these money issues a lot of times is that somehow we've missed the value. We've missed developing the value for the person. And if you go back to natural selling again, you go back, let's tie this back to what we just learned in our Monday calls. What is the value to the person? Well, what you try to do so much in the past is you've tried to tell people what the value is. Let me tell you what the value is here. We're not relating the value to the individual we're working with. We're relating the value to a generic overall value. By going through the natural selling process and going through the discovery stage to find out the person's current situation, their circumstances, the needs they have, their logical needs, and then looking at what emotional needs they have around that logical need. Now, when you talk about the value of your product or the value of the business opportunity, you can align it directly with that individual's personal emotional and logical needs. Now you really are giving them the value. They're showing them exactly what the value is to them as individual people. So the money issue tends to go away. It disappears. So again, we have to learn how to establish that value to individuals. If you're giving, let's take it another step. What if you're giving a talk in front of lots of people, so you don't have the opportunity up front to maybe discover the person's emotional and logical needs? So you can't, and it's hard to tie a talk into everybody's need, right? It's And that's one of the challenges we have as speakers, that when we go out there, we try to meet all the different personality quadrants. We put something in there. That's why we make people cry. We make them laugh. We make them cry. We give them statistics. And that's why after I give my talk, I have people that come up and absolutely love it. I have other people that say, wow, Mary Jo, that was a lot of science. But, you know, because I'm getting reactions from all different personality quadrants. For some, statistics are too much. For other ones, they didn't get enough. For other ones, they loved all the humor. The other ones, they thought it got too silly. I never knew you could use humor in a talk, they say to me. You know, I mean, it's really cute to watch all the reactions to it. But you try to develop a talk that encompasses all of that to get everybody. But if you're giving a talk and you're saying, okay, how do I motivate somebody beyond money? How do I get them motivated to spend the money? How do I get value? You want to make sure that you give something in your talk that's incredibly, incredibly moving, very motivational. And one of the things I've picked up on was something from Marcia Smith that she talked about years ago that I think is so impactful. I put it in my children's health seminar, and so far I think we've signed up 3 people who came to that children's health seminar. And I never mentioned Manatech, never mentioned the word Manatech or any other products during the whole 2.5-hour seminar. But I wanted to motivate people to tap into consulting with me for their health issues. And I talked about the Pottinger study. And I don't know how many of you know about the Pottinger study with the cats. But if you don't know about that, I'll just send out Marcia Smith's piece so you can read about it. But it really has to do with the fact that our processed foods are so horrifically bad for the body that when given them to you know, when given pasteurized milk and cooked meats to cats versus raw milk and raw meats, by the time the third generation came around with that group of cats, they all died off because they, in the second generation, they became exceedingly aggressive. And we see what's going on in the human race, oppositional defiant behavior, ADHD, all these kind of things, right? They also became very difficult for them to reproduce. The miscarriage rate went off the charts and inability to become fertile. And what do we see in the United States? You know, infertility rates off the charts. Okay, this happened in the second generation of eating processed foods and pasteurized milk with these cats. By the third generation, they all died off because they couldn't reproduce at all. And what I put on my screen in the health seminar, my children's health seminar, I put up there, I said, wouldn't it be intriguing if we were just the guinea pigs? We, the people, are guinea pigs in the ultimate Pottinger study with a big question mark. Now, something like, I'm just throwing that out there to show you something new I just started using as of a week ago, because I think it really knocks people's socks off. I think they're starting to get it that we're killing ourselves. We're not just doing damage. We're actually killing ourselves in the process of what we're consuming today in our foodstuffs. So when are we going to get a grip on this? And, you know, so though that might be something that would, that might motivate somebody to spend some money, because the value they see in it is what? It's life or death. And you start putting a greater cost on not taking action. The consequences are so great that they take action. So again, you want to make sure you're building value. You want to make sure that they get value, because people will spend endless money on something of value. It's not about how much it costs. It's what is the value. Number four, your potential partner wonders, is this too good to be true? Because a lot of people, you know, a lot of people get into that. They start, especially if they see platinum in 2 to 5 years, they think, oh, am I going to really be making $40,000 a year in 2 years? And, you know, that's a little outrageous. That's a little much. It's kind of one of the reasons why, you know, with the ICANN program, I said 2 to 6,000 after 12 months. And a lot of you who went and analyzed the program said, Mary Jo, you know, you'll be 2 months away from being platinum at the end of 12 months. So why are you saying 2 to 6,000 when really you're going to be making 30,000, 25, 30,000 a month? And I said, because of this statement right here, it is too good to be true. Don't oversell, undersell and overperform. That's a beautiful thing. In fact, it comes from, where do we get that principle again? The Go-Giver book, remember the Go-Giver book by Bob Berg? And he talked about always give more than what they ever expect. Always perform greater services than what they ever expect. You're always going to be outperforming. Outperforming. And that's what builds customer loyalty. That's what builds love and commitment and trust and confidence in you, is by outperforming. It's always about, well, how can I give more than what they ever expected? So that's why I like this undersell, overperform. And so when you approach people and show them the concept of how Manatech works, so many people in network marketing in the past have always, you know, wanted to show you the big houses and the cars and the jets and all the stuff and all the fast life. And the problem with that is that you're leading people right to that exact conclusion, this is too good to be true. So the reality is lead them to something that they can really believe in, that they can grab onto and hold onto and say, wow, I can see that happening. With the concept that the money, I always leave that out there. I say, you understand that in this industry, the income and the rewards you get are unlimited. It's just how hard you want to work and how far you want to go with it. You make that decision yourself. But the joy is you can build it as large as you want. But the reality is let's look at how we can get you to 2 to 6,000 of residual monthly income in 12 months. And that's my goal for you right off the bat. So that's how we work on it. We work on, you know, getting to that point right out of the box. So anyway, it's keep it soft, keep it gentle. When you talk about, and again, you're meeting their needs. So if their need is that they want to get away from their overbearing boss, then you say, wow, this is how it meets your need, that you can be your own boss, that you're not reporting to anybody, you know, all that kind of stuff. You really get the opportunity to express to them what meets their need. And again, you can't do that. You can't meet their need unless you're going through the discovery stage to find out what it is. And for you to be able to communicate to them about how good this is and how true it is, what has to happen to you first? You have to have the belief in it yourself. And that's where a lot of people on this call today are kind of stuck. Because the reason you're stuck is because you look at yourself and you go, well, Mary Jo, if it hasn't happened for me, how am I going to show the confidence to somebody else? And I'm going to suggest to you that's the exact reason why you don't go out and market the business. You are stuck marketing Manatech products for health purposes because you look at the business side and say, if it hasn't worked for me, how do I convince other people it's going to work for them? And I want you to tell me, since when does whatever happened in your life restrict anyone else from being successful? That's my first question. If people were limited in their success in their life to what Mary Jo's done in her life, we wouldn't have the Bill Gates of the world. I mean, today, if you look around the United States, you know, they're like, I don't know how many, millions of millionaires, but they're starting to get to be 100,000 billionaires in the United States. Now, I don't know what, they probably just lost their billionaire status over the last month because most of them were invested in the market. But the idea is that we've got millions of millionaires out there, okay? So we got a lot of people that made a lot of money doing a lot of things. So whatever has happened to you in your life is not going to stop somebody else from being successful. So don't use what's happened to you as a judgment about whether or not it can happen. When you look at Manatech and say, well, it hasn't happened for me, all you got to do is look around and look at the 400, 500 presidentials and go, but it has happened for other people. And my prospects and percentages are a lot greater in Manatech and network marketing than they're going to be in me setting up a Microsoft any day soon, right? The prospects in Manatech and in network marketing are a lot greater than they're going to be in almost any other endeavor that you encompass because to make it in this business is totally up to you. And it's all available. It's right there on a silver platter. It's just about what do I need to do? And, you know, we just need to take the right steps and take and be disciplined about it and persevere with it, and we can create whatever that is that we choose to create. But a lot of that starts with working on us and moving ourselves forward and taking on an approach. Like so many of you have expressed to me over the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks, around this whole Michael Oliver approach, you're just dumbfounded that this even existed because you never thought about approaching people this way. You're overwhelmed because you're looking at this as, oh my gosh, it's a whole new way I can do my business and I can feel so comfortable and confident with it because I truly am stepping into loving on people and listening to them for the first time, pursuing, finding out what's floating their boat, what their needs is, what their logical needs or emotional needs are, and then I can really become that solution for them. Instead of being a solution for me, I can be a solution for them. And it's through that that you're going to create the most phenomenal business. So there are all these ways that we need to shift and change, but it's not, you know, when you can't approach somebody with a business because you haven't been successful at it, what are you saying? You're saying my success, their success is dependent on my success, and I'm going to tell you that's so wrong. In fact, you don't ever want to hold back anyone from being wildly successful, especially if they're in your downline. Number one thing you want to do is create enough presidentials underneath you so that you just catapult you right off the charts. And that's actually happened to some people in Manatech. Absolutely. I met somebody in Manatech that became presidential, and they told me, they said, you know how many I've enrolled, Mary Jo? 6 people. How do you enroll 6 people and become presidential? Isn't that wild? Some of you are out there going, Mary Jo, I've enrolled 600 and I'm still not president. I get it. But that's because you're doing it all on your own. You're failing to go out there and approach it as a business and getting people motivated to do this as a business. Maybe now you have a better approach to do that. But get yourself out of the way. So build your belief, you know. And I put down in here one of my favorite quotes, and it's really not mine. You cannot fly with the eagles when you hang out with the turkeys. I love that. And you can put that on your computer. You can put a little note on your desk somewhere. But that comes out of John Kalinch's book, you know, How to Be the Best You Can Be in MLM. And I'm sure he probably didn't even come up with that statement, but that's where I saw that language before, is out of his book. Because one of the four fuels of success is your environment. So part of your environment, in fact, the most important part of your environment is who you surround yourself with. So make sure you're surrounding yourself with people who are positive and believers and committed and have purpose and are driven in their lives. And those are the people that are going to be most impactful to you, and that's what's going to help support you. Next is your potential partner does not believe he can really do this, even if it's true. And there are people out there that really have a lack of belief. They say, hey, even if this is true, I can't do it. You know, because, and I think this, some of this comes out even Timmy Altvater. He taught some things in the past. He said the number one thing you've got to come across with people is overcome the issue, I can do it, because people immediately come from, I can't do it. We have a lot of negativity in our environment. So you got to get their belief that they can do it. And the number one way to get people to believe is to make sure that it's what? It's not something that's overwhelming. You don't tell them that it's easy to do this, because I don't think it's easy to do network marketing. I think it's a simple business model. I think there's a tremendous simplicity to the business model. But I don't think it's easy to do, because it breaks down all those barriers that we have. We got to be right. We're bad listeners. I mean, on. I can tell you the 20 things that hold people back, the major things. And we've got a lot of them circulating out there. Their personality traits, their programs running our lives, all sorts of things. Their habits that we've developed that are bad. But the beauty of networking, as Kiyosaki says, is the idea that it's the number one industry that has a tremendous amount of self-development. So we break down these barriers. We improve ourselves. We go through a transformation of being of ourselves so that we are better people because of it. And that's the beauty of networking, I find. I know it's absolutely true in my life. My transformation over the last 10 years has been incredible. The process of all the changes in my life have been phenomenal. So it's not that, you know, it's easy. It's a simple business model. What's tough about it is us absorbing the changes in our lives that we need to do to be better people, to pour into people's lives and to become that motivational force out there to support and love on people so that people accept change in their lives. So stress, when you talk to people about, I can't do this, you make sure you stress the benefits to them. You make sure that you stress the benefits of you being their team leader. How are you committed, or your upline presidential committed, so that they know that they have a lot of support around them? And that gets into the number six concept in a factor in the mind of a potential customer is wondering whether or not you're really going to help them. Are they really going to find the support? Now, some people aren't looking for this because they're like solo operators. I'm going to suggest to you be very, very careful with solo operators. There are people out there that are totally self-motivated, and they're terrific, but they still need to be team players. I call these people uneducable. A lot of them are uneducable. In other words, they don't want to listen to you. They don't want to hear what you have to say. You're not going to teach them anything. They know better. Has everybody on this call come across somebody like that in their lives? Absolutely. We come across them all the time. That's a tough person to tackle because they're not going to be willing to learn, and they need to be educable. But they also need to be people that are willing to get support, because you want to give them support because, this business is not, again, it's not an easy business. It's a simple business model, but not an easy business. So how do I help make it easier for people is I give them tremendous support. And one of the things we do, one of the things that's suggested here and was in the article was that you draft a commitment contract with them. Because one of the things you don't want to do is you don't want to make a commitment to somebody to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G unless they're committed to do what? Something back. And so what we do in the commitment letter is we draft what you're committed to doing and then what they commit to do. Because that's why it has to be a contract, because a contract is in between two people. It's not a one-way street. So if you want to make a commitment contract to somebody, then you get them committed to taking certain action as well. And that's one way to, you know, see that there's plenty of support, and it makes people feel more confident or assured. You're building their confidence and their assurances that they have an opportunity here that they really can make it work. One of the things I hand out to people is something called upline presidential support. And it's just a laundry list of all the different things that I do for people in my downline. And it's pretty massive, but it's just who I am, you know, whether it's coaching calls or three-way calls or travel or, you know, this, you know, pathway to presidential classes, different kinds of courses, building, you know, websites, doing flyers and posters and banners and drafting ads and all the kind of things, that, you know, the internet support and the, that we have with Lydia. We just have a whole laundry list of things that we do. So we give that out, and it's not a bad thing for you to do. You don't have to do as, you don't even have to do one tenth of what I do, but have a support sheet that shows what kind of support you're willing to commit to a new business builder. And that helps them because now they know where to go to get information and do things. So if you'd like a copy of my Upline Presidential Support, I'll be happy to make that available to you, too. It just will give them ideas of, you know, what's available. But new people need to know that there's a support team around them. And you want team interaction. Everything I do today, I just make an extraordinary effort to get teams. Extraordinary. Every single time I put together the trifolder, the business builder book, I passed that out to 10 people, 15 people, and I said, give me feedback. When I did the ICANN program, I just said, open it up for feedback. When I, you know, and I kind of got that done, and then a group of people said, we want to make it better, Mary Jo. I said, hey, green light, go at it, have at it. And, of course, some of you saw the process of that, and they just made build beautiful documents in there and really restructured them in a way that was just absolutely beautiful. And all that took endless hours, but every bit of it worth it because we want to operate from a team perspective. Getting other people's feedback is really critical to getting the best possible results. So always work in teams, and that's the, what you're doing here by showing the support available. Number 7, your potential partner wants to know how the business is done. So you need to be able to show them how it works. Have a concept of how you do that. Some of you, if I asked you right now, if somebody asked you how the business works, what would you say to them? And some of you don't have an answer to that. Well, one of the reasons is because you never proposed for people to join your business. You're afraid of it. Well, you have to know what to tell people if you're going to invite them into your business. And maybe on one of my calls, you guys give me feedback on it, but maybe one of my phone calls, my trainings on a Monday morning should be, how do I do this business presentation and how do I show people what's the best materials, what kind of tools can I use to show how duplicatable this business is? And maybe we just do that so that you could, because I believe that you need your confidence built on exactly what to share with them so you feel more, that'll boost your confidence. And without that boost, you're still not going to share the business model because you need to know exactly what to, you don't have the materials to share. You might give them a little booklet from Manatech, and I'm not sure from that little 2 to 5 years to platinum that somebody's going to get a great concept of exactly how this works. It's a good overview, but it doesn't really show them how it works. The beauty of what I love to do is I love to teach people about, you know, here's the different leadership levels. You start from region. Our first goal for you is going to get the team bonus. That's number one. Our next goal is to get to regional, and here's what that looks like. And I said, after that, we just have really basically 3 more goals, and you're at our highest level. And then it's just a matter of getting everybody else there. But watch how it works. And I show them, in order to get to national, what do you need to do? You need to help these 3 people get to regional status. So it's not about you doing it. It's about supporting others to get to where you just experienced. And then I want to get from national to executive. And I say, how do you get to executive? You can say 6,000 to 20,000 looks like a huge jump. In reality, it's not. It's just going back to those regionals and saying, hey, you know, I just hit national. Now you guys, I want you to get there. What do we need to do for you to get there? Let's help 3 people in your organization to get to regional so you can all get to national. Well, if 3 people in my downline get to national, that's 18,000 GPV, and I only need 20,000. So it's not up to me to go out and get that. Some of you go, well, all you need is 600 people ordering $100 a month, and you're presidential. And the people look at you, and they go, they like deer in headlights. They're thinking, I'm going to find 600 people to take these products? So you see what happens is you start making it sound like it's all up to them. Wrong approach. This business really gets to look as simple as a business model as it is by you just suggesting what you need to develop underneath you in order for you to get to a higher level. So it's not about you finding all the people. It's about supporting others to do that. Because, you know, we looked at the fun thing, you know. If this doesn't give you an idea of what networking is all about, just keep in mind that whole concept about if you just found one person a month for 12 months and everybody did the same thing, you'd be, in 12 months, you'd be making $30,000 a year and 2 months away from platinum in 12 months. That's how simple the business model is. One who gets one, right, for 12 months. How many total people you need to sign up? 12. That's all. 12. And everybody finds their 12. Now, that's how simple. Now, if you want to make it even simpler than that, you just go, okay, what if I just find four? Just like my new I Can Lose Fat with Osoline program. You just find four people who want to lose fat. I can find thousands of people who want to lose fat. And then I get each one of those people to find their four who want to lose fat, right? And all I need to do is do five levels deep with that, and I'm presidential. And you can do that in 5 weeks, 5 months, whatever time. No time constraint around it. But, I mean, that's how simple the model. But, again, understand the model of networking is not about you finding tons of people. It's about what? It's about each one doing their little bit. And that's what, you know, Wayne Badavinas talks about. He says it's the little guy that does a little bit that makes all the difference in the world in this business. The little guy who does a little bit makes all the difference in this business. So we've got to get out there and find the little guys to do a little bit and then help them find little guys to do a little bit and have them find little guys to do a little bit. It's not about any King Kong. It's about everybody just doing their little bit and watch what happens. Number eight, your prospective partner does not trust people who are into secrecy. Wow, that's a big one. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about being authentic. Of course, we always want to come up and be upfront and honest. Yes, you are in network marketing. And yes, you love network marketing. I love the model. I love the simplicity of the business model. And I love the fact that people can work hard for a period of time and enjoy some income stream, because I truly believe that's what everybody does in the world who doesn't work for somebody else. If you own a business, you work hard for a while, you get your business off and running, and then you deserve an income stream from it. No one ever denies that somebody who builds a business from scratch and then owns 12 houses around the world doesn't deserve it. But somehow you guys think that because you're doing network marketing, you shouldn't deserve it. I mean, there's that concept out there. Well, how ludicrous is that? You're doing nothing more than building a business, just like the guy who started a couple of businesses down the road and his businesses took off and now he's a multimillionaire. He doesn't deserve it because he doesn't have to work anymore and he keeps making money? What? I mean, this is silliness. We're silly. We take on silly concepts around this because we let other people convince us. This network marketing model is tremendous, and to me it's a tremendous opportunity so people can be freed up to do the beautiful work that needs to be done in this world, which is, to me, the mission work that we have. And boy, do we have a ton of mission work in our own country over the next couple of years. I mean, my heart breaks when I see families, husbands killing their kids and their wife and then taking their own life because they can't find a job. You know, this is unbelievably excruciating to me. How could I not have found that person? How could that person not have crossed my path somewhere where I could have potentially made a difference? I mean, it breaks my heart. Life is so valuable. To treat it like that just shows you how desperate we people are in our country. And I'm tired of that happening. We're all Americans. We're family. We need to love each other, and we need to get out of this hatred and divisiveness and start loving each other and supporting each other as human beings on this earth and create the best we can for everybody. So that's the freedom I want you all to have, so that you can go out and do those kind of things that truly make a difference. So anyway, so be honest, be authentic. Number nine is the potential prospect or customer wonders why you would help him and want good things for him. Well, clearly it's part of the model. That's one of the responses that came out of the article, that it's our model. As you know, you see here, if you become regional, you're helping me. If you become national, you help me. So obviously, my intent is to pour into you like no other tomorrow. I don't have to worry about myself. In fact, I tell people all the time, I say one of the things I love the most about network marketing is that I never have to think about myself. I go to church and I pour my heart and my guts out into people, and I do health seminars and I don't even talk about Manatech. I don't have to worry about myself because you know what? When I do quarterly health seminars at my church, people eventually come to me and ask me to help. Mary Jo, can you help me? I have this, this, and this. Can you help me? Can you show me what to do? I do hospital visits like never before. I used to hate going to the hospital. Now I love going to the hospital. I go all the time, any opportunity. Let's go. I'm ready. I'm in there. I call the doctors drug dealers. I'm just kidding. I just did that the other day. This woman's doctor came in, and all he did was review all these drugs. I mean, her poor mind was going around in circles, and I'm standing there looking at him. He walks out of the room, and I said, so, that's your drug dealer. And she broke out. I mean, that was the most joy. And she's been telling everybody about how Mary Jo called her doctor a drug dealer. Anyway, but you know, I'm on this earth to have people bring joy in people's lives. Go out and have fun with it and watch what happens. And that's what you do. But, you know, it's joyful, you know. Why you would help them? Because, you know what, helping you, if my number one value in my life is contribution, helping you is a big, total, massive turn-on to me. You're pumping my passion. Being on Monday calls with you guys is a total pump to me. Sometimes it takes me a half an hour to just come off my high on a Monday call because I have so much joy sharing. But it's about being passionate about things. But the other thing, so you can talk about how, you know, they're in your downline, so obviously they help you. You don't have to think about yourself. You can just pour into other people, and you're going to naturally succeed. It's part of what I consider that it's the ultimate in the Christian values when we talk about as you sow, so shall you reap. I love telling, what a perfect time to witness to somebody if you want to do that by them asking that question. You know, I believe in Scripture, and I believe in God, and He told me that as I sow, so shall I reap. So you know what? That's why I do it. Because I know it's the ultimate reward. We get benefits by sowing into people. Number 10 is the potential customer is comfortable with her current nutritional supplements. Wonderful. Terrific. I'm ecstatic. I just had a woman out of the, again, going back to my health seminars, I had a woman out of one of my health seminars. She said, Mary Jo, I'm on Juice Plus. What do you think? And I go, it's a great product. I said, I think it's a great product. I'm happy you're taking it. Wow, I'm excited that you made a good decision about taking a good product. You know what? That woman is now buying 4 products from me out of the Manatech line. Because I didn't insult her intelligence to tell her it wasn't an adequate product, that it wasn't good enough, and da-da-da-da-da, and all this stuff, right? And I'm going to suggest to you one more thing that's going to happen to the same lady. Three, four months from now, she's going to call me up in one of our many conversations. I will guarantee it, because it's happened so many times. And she's going to say, you know, Mary Jo, I'm really enjoying all these products. Is there a reason now, you know, I'm taking Juice Plus too. Do you think I really need to continue taking Juice Plus if I'm taking all these things from you're recommending? It's going to happen. Because people are always looking about where they can cut back. Where, here's my financial situation. Where can I cut back? But I never tell them up front to get rid of Juice Plus. Never. Because you're telling them they're stupid. They made a bad mistake. You don't want to tell people they made a bad mistake. Now, sometimes when I review what somebody's taking and they show me 22 different products, I might look at their product and say, you know, you're taking 4 different calcium products. Let me talk to you about calcium. And so I can get, you know, so I just educate them. You know, so I could do that. But when it comes to nutritional supplements, you know, unless it's something I know that I know is bad, I'm not going to attack it. It may not be adequate or efficient for what's going on in their body or their future, you know, but I'm not going to attack it. So you just, how do we talk about our products? We talk about our products from the uniqueness of what they are. Ours are unique in these ways, and we have uniqueness just flowing everywhere. And now we have the NSF certification on 4 of our products or 5 of our products or whatever. I mean, you got all these benefits that you can talk about our products. Phytomatrix off the shelf, AO, you got clinical trial study results, you got clinical trial studies on Bounce Back. By the way, Bounce Back is turning out to be unbelievable. I'm doing the Mana Mail this week on Bounce Back Revisited because of the new studies. But it's unbelievable the reactions we're getting. I met with a guy who runs a workout facility, much like a Curve, a workout club, and I presented to him Bounce Back and Osaline. He had no interest whatsoever in Osaline, but he was in love with this Bounce Back product. So people just know that you got a diamond in the rough there with Bounce Back. Okay, so again, fall in love with the people, tell them they're doing a great job. The last one, and we're about to close, is that your potential partner is looking for a mission to join, and there's no doubt about that. And so many of you have heard me train this before, and I did it again on the Pathway class on Saturday. I told everybody, you know, they did a survey and they found out nationwide there are 3 major motivational factors in people's life. One is money, another is acknowledgement, and the third is mission. Those are the 3 major motivating factors in people's lives. And which one of those three came out at the top? Mission. Mission was number one, acknowledgement was two, and money came in last of the three. Now, that's pretty remarkable that people really are looking out to be a part of something greater than themselves. They're looking to be a part of something greater than themselves. And what do you have with Manatech? Oh, my goodness. What a great opportunity to be something greater than ourselves, to be a part of something greater than ourselves. And what a glorious mission it is. And I'm going to share with you that the mission, my mission in 2009 is so huge. We're starting to put together a consortium of people to take on health insurance as a concept. And I know some people look at us and think we're a little crazy, and I go, you know what? God tells me in Scripture that anything's possible through Him. And I'm so convicted about this country being in such a wrong direction on health insurance that I'm making this a major part of my 2009 and beyond activities, is to attack health insurance in this country. Because it's time that we quit rewarding people for the wrong things. Our health insurance is all about rewarding people to be negligent and undisciplined when we need to reward people for being disciplined and responsible. And that means that our health insurance starts reimbursing for nutritional supplements and workouts and all the prevention. And our health insurance stops reimbursing people for high blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, all the things, 90% of which are totally controllable in people's lives. And so that's the direction that I'm stepping up and fighting for with a group of people across this country starting in 2009. And I think it's going to be it's a mission greater than any of us. And none of us would look at each other and say, well, you know what? It's unbelievable when you put together a business plan and a format and a purpose statement and a strategy, and then you go out in the public and you're going to find millions and millions of dollars willing to support that energy because they know it's right. We have a huge alternative medical industry today in this country, and they all believe that's right. But they're not going to leave their businesses to go and fight the cause because it's just, they either don't believe they'd be effective or they think it's pharmaceuticals are too strong. But you know what? We're going to do that because Manatech gives us the freedom and the time to go and do those kind of things. And other people are out there with that same energy, and we're going to put forth the energy it's going to take to make a difference. So get your potential partners in to join a mission that's really far greater than what they've perceived they could do. And that's the joy of what we have for them. Okay, people, that's it. How do you like that? 11 factors in your does this help you guys in terms of working with people? What do you think? Anyone want to come off mute and just share a little bit? Anyone in particular of these ideas hit home for you?
Mary Jo, this is terrific information.
Great.
Is there any way that we can get on your ManaMail email list without being in your group?
I don't think we do that. Let me talk to Lydia and see. I know people have asked in the past, but let me talk to Lydia. I everything I do is so cross-line. I don't know why I couldn't make that available to everybody. But, well, let me talk to her about it. What we do is we have 12 people that are contributing to it, and that's the only thing. They each put in a contribution on a monthly basis to do that. So the other thing that we could potentially do is set up a ManaMail program for Monday call participants. You see what I'm saying? So that if we got people, 12 people on this Monday call that tend to be on it all the time, who say, you know what, Mary Jo, I'd be willing to do one month a year if I could be part of a greater group. Does that make some sense? I don't mind orchestrating that for you because I think it's so neat. It's just such a valuable asset, and I will share with you, people all the time. I just got a phone call last week from a doctor in Canada who I hadn't heard from since 2005, and you know what? He ordered for a while, and then he quit. And he sent me an email last week saying, Mary Jo, I really want my wife to get started on these products and da-da-da. And the only reason he did that, only reason, is he's on my ManaMail list. He's been getting monthly ManaMails from me for 3 years without being on the products. And you know what? He came back around. And I guarantee you, without that ManaMail, wouldn't have happened. So I see the benefit of it. So let's talk about that from a strategy. I'll talk to Lydia about it, and we'll see if we can work something out with that, because I think it's so invaluable. I try to get other groups started to do it, and they start, but they don't stick with the discipline of it. Okay, this takes discipline, and that's what we need to exert. Okay?
Thank you.
Yep.
Mary Jo, I so appreciate your language of potential customer and potential partner.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the business so long, and I've always had the feeling that my skin was crawling when I was rounding up prospects.
Good. Well, get rid of that word. Just throw it in the garbage can. I know it doesn't. It seems it cheapens the process, doesn't it, to you? Do you feel? Yeah. That's great. Good, good, good. So great, great words. Yeah. And I don't even like the word leads, because leads has that same kind of, oh, leads. They're like, I'm going to attack these leads or something. Potential partner or potential consumer is just softer. Yeah. Great. Glad you enjoy it.
Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
This is Terry. Sometimes you have said that we can use that mana mail and make it more personalized for our downline or who we're dealing with, but I was wondering if you could do like a, like if you could have someone come and talk to us about how to do that.
You know what, Terry, you need to do? Get a hold of Lydia and call her and just work with her, and she'll show you how to do that on the Internet. Because once you get it from us, because you're in my downline, all you've got to do is get on the Internet, and you can edit that, madam, and she'll help you do that, okay?
Okay.
You bet.
All right, thanks. Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
Hey, this is Cindy. I just want to thank you for the way you pour into not only your downline but your crossline and the example that you give to all of us. And especially because in the way you presented this morning, it just makes me want to pour into mine.
Great.
And to recognize that everybody I talk to, all I want to do is give to them,
mm-hmm.
Just as you put it, without concern for my own
mm-hmm.
end, but pouring into them, making them the focus. That's all we have to do.
Absolutely.
And thank you for modeling that.
You're welcome, and thank you for modeling it for your group. And that's the blessing you give to me. By your response to me today, that is such a great reward in my life. You understand that? Because now I know you're taking it, and you're going to model it onward. And that's what this is about. If we all could step into that and model it, my goodness gracious, where would this world be today?
Exactly.
Woo. So, Cindy, thank you. Thank you.
Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
This is Miriam from San Jose.
Hi, Miriam.
I'm in Marcia Smith's downline.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, she's great. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, the Pottinger effect is what has been very, very helpful to understand that. But I also liked what you did today in explaining if you help two regionals, you get to help two nationals, you help two executives, it's supporting, and that
right.
You do that so well, and it's such a good, like she just said, it's such a good example.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what it is. It makes, you know, the whole, when you explain the business model that way, it just is so simplistic, isn't it? It's just about, wow, you know, this is not a tough thing. Let's just support others being successful, and we'll get more successful. I mean, that's just the way it goes. It's a layering effect. So, don't make it complicated. Make it simple for people, because the model is simple. It's just, again, we complicate it with all the jazz razzmatazz we want to put into it, but it is simple. Thanks. Anyone else?
Mary Jo, this is Carol from Portland. I got
Thanks,
on just
Carol.
A few minutes late. How do you sign up for the webinar tonight? The ICANN.
Do you have my outline, the Monday call outline?
Nope, I'm crossline.
Oh, you're cross. Well, you can. It doesn't matter if you're crossline. You can always get my Monday call outlines just by going on to manatrain.net. and signing up for them. There's a Yahoo group you sign up for, and then every Monday morning you'll get the outline in your email bank. So you'll have my Monday call outline, okay? Not restricted to my downline, okay? And if you want to sign up for the independent, because on the outline for this morning is how to register for the webinar tonight, but you can also go to ICANN2.net and click on Getting Started, which is in the toolbar. And it up there it says webinars. It has the scheduled webinar for tonight, and it shows you how to tells you how to register. So the ICAN2.net.
Okay, the number two? T-O-O.
I'm sorry, T-O-O.
T-O-O.
Yeah,
one
right.
Question, will the trifolds be available again?
Absolutely. I have a meeting at 1 o'clock today with Manatech to go over any kind of compliance issues, and then whatever they tell me today, I will guarantee you will be done within an hour after they tell me, and we'll put it right back into production. So, and if we give it to our production guy by this afternoon, we'll probably be starting shipping again tomorrow. How's
super.
That? Okay? You bet.
Awesome.
Okay, people, love you. I got to run. Have a great day. Have a great week, and we'll talk.